You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Stella Dumont. Stella, thanks so much for being with me today.
I'm so happy to be with you, Brainerd.
So Stella, we're talking about your show at Ben Ruby Gallery, one of my favorite galleries, and I'm really glad we're talking about this show. So This Life Wants You is the exhibit we're talking about, running through May 23rd of this year, 2026. So let's just jump into the title a little bit, this body of work. I love that phrase, This Life Wants You. That's what I feel like I need to hear. I don't know why.
So
tell me about this, though, because this is your first show with a gallery, and it's very specific, right? Where it's figurative. We're looking at bodies. We're looking at nudes in a landscape. But that title, can you tell me a little bit about that? This Life Wants You?
Absolutely. Exactly what you said. It's what I need to hear. That was core. I wanted someone to say it to themselves and have that kind of echo of medicine, right? Because it does, you know, consciousness itself wants us where we are here. And the work itself is, you know, it's like I'm not reinventing the wheel with my work. I want people projecting themselves into the images, which hopefully are bringing a sense of belonging, peace, you know, connectedness, and remembering that this life wants us. You know, I think that there's so much sort of disconnection and dissonance. You know, it's like the average person's going to spend 20 years in their phone now, you know? So it's kind of a call to remembrance visually, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's true. Is that what we're slated to spend on our phone, about 20 years? Is that what'll...
That's a conservative estimate. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. So yeah, let's talk about the work. I wanted to begin by talking with owls. This is a beautiful image, three figures. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about this, like the medium, how you're shooting this and how this is done? It looks like replicas, but these are three
wonderful,
what look like individuals, almost carved out of the mountain.
I personally am really drawn to figures that are not in the forefront. I frequently obscure the figures with nature or envelop, you know. I want to have a transmission of feeling encircled and a part of, you know. And we found the cave, you know, all of the times that I go out to shoot, I do not have a prescription of how anything is going to go. I don't have anything set. I say some prayers. I usually work with the land. I ask to be guided. I invite in the indigenous spirits. I invite in, you know, kind of everything. And it's like these portals open up, like that cave. And the women, there's no colorization. They're red because of when you go into the cave, your skin turns clay colored. And it really took my breath away. So, I'm also drawn to, you know, being in a position of rest and being held.
And in that image, There's a number of those things happening there, right? It is at rest, but also three is significant, right? And is this who we is? You talk about we, but so there's three figures here. That's not the same figure, is it, or is it?
No, there are three different beings there. When I say we, I think I'm often referring to consciousness or, you know, humanity at large, and that I'm drawn to photograph more than one person at a time just because I think there's an amplification of the gathering, you know, like a medicine circle or an intentional extension connecting to the earth and connecting us to each other, sort of like a ritual. But I didn't want it to be as overt as that. And you know, it's interesting speaking about it because none of this is conscious. It's sort of what I'm looking at in retrospect of why I'm drawn to what I'm drawn to.
And so why are you drawn to this in particular? I mean, this is a staged image, right? These are three figures. And before you talked about we in finding places, how does an image like this begin? How is this constructed? Because this is, it feels like a kind of a sacred place there of three figures and, you know, and also somewhat remote as well.
All of the places that I'm drawn to photograph are not inhabited by people. I am trying to be kind of off grid or drawn to places that are untouched. While it's staged and it's not like, you know, I'm capturing, you know, some unscripted moment, it is quick. My moving through an image is very fast. So it's sort of like when I saw them there, and then when I saw the repetition, it just did something to
But you said you
like
saw them there. These aren't your models, or they
yeah,
are. Or...
when I saw the meaning when I placed them there in this position, because I shot them in several different angles in the cave, it's sort of like my body lights up with that, like that's it. You know, it feels like the antenna just goes, you know, like a little chiropractic adjustment. And then I know that I'm kind of onto something. If I don't have that feeling, I'm not shooting. I'm typically moving around, you know, and trying to find like my way into something that feels sacred.
And how do the models, the figures that you're traveling with, figure into that process? Because it sounds like it's almost a collaboration. They're also moving around and doing things. How does that get staged? Because it almost sounds like you saw them there, but it is staged, right?
I guess you're reflecting an interesting turn of phrase that when I say saw them, but meaning I'm kind of moving in periphery and witnessing, and then it's like I see it, and then when I see it, that's the image. But I'm not constructing it. First, I might place them. The people I work with, they know that they're going to be part of kind of this Wild West adventure moment together. Like I'm like, I don't know, you know, what we're going to go do, and I don't know what we're going to find. And so there's a particular quality of openness and like an ability to be really embodied and heart-centered. I'm not so much concerned with a figuratively beautiful person as much as a person that feels very alive, you know, to me. Because we're so sophisticated, you know, we can feel if someone is alive even in that position that you're speaking of, which is, you know, they're folded up into themselves, but they're also kind of resonant.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of different associations there. So before you go out, is there ideas that you're playing with about you know, solo figures or groups of figures? Because both figure in here, right? We have individuals in the landscape, like duos and three people in the landscape as well.
I don't. I like the moment to really inform. Or the landscape to impact really creation itself. I'm kind of saying, hi, I'm here, I'm listening, and everyone that I'm shooting with is involved, you know. I will actually hold hands with everyone and kind of call in like our ancestors, the initial stewards of the land, the wise ancestors of the land, to bring us to kind of a collaborative celebration, and hopefully that we're filling our hearts with kind of like an awe and reverence for where we are. It's always an intention to sort of say, with my aliveness, with every single person I'm shooting, we want to give back to you energetically. Mm-hmm. And we hope to create images that also remind people that this is residing in effortlessness, you know, to be in that kind of collaboration if we have eyes to see. So everyone who's working with me like wants to have an experience of the sacred, I would say, you know.
And where are you when you're taking these? Because it saying that, right, these feel like sacred mm-hmm. spaces. These aren't cities. Mm-hmm. These are, you're far out in a landscape that seems kind of magical, really.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always on the hunt for places that feel kind of humming, you know, with this field of living energy that is nature or something that is stronger than man-made constructs. And we're often really hiking out, you know, in these things. And I'm often shooting people who have not been nude before or modeled before. So there's a lot of like birthing that kind of happens, you know.
And what are you carrying? What's the equipment that you're bringing out into the field?
I'm bringing out a, you know, a several different digital format cameras of like a Canon EOS 5. I have inherited a Nikon F that is from the 60s. That's my dad's film camera. I'm kind of moving between several different things, like at all times. I mean, one thing I should mention is that you know, I didn't go to art school. I really started photographing 2 years ago in earnest, Brainerd. This all originated out of me kind of needing to like reset my heart and mind and spirit. And I asked a friend to come shoot with me, and it was like the first shot I could feel something kind of remarkable just happen. And my friend, you know, that I was shooting was a photographer, and she looked down and she went, "What?" You know, and I just noticed I felt compelled to shoot each month and to kind of go out and adventure. And I don't know if you know this, but my day job is you know, has been working as an intuitive. And so when I sort of say this is a collaboration, it's just an extension of what I've been doing the whole time, what with energy or with spirit or being led, and my willingness to be very not wrong in my ideas, but very kind of like I don't know, show me is kind of my attitude when I'm out. And I feel delighted by that.
So tell me a little bit about your day job. Your day job but no, that's interesting. So you're in that's healing arts, right? You're,
yes.
What exactly are you doing? Because that fits in, of course, to all of this, to how you're moving through the landscape and working with models and right.
It's so funny. It's not that I have a you know, something of a problem with the word models, but it's that almost doesn't feel how I feel in relationship to anyone that I'm shooting, because I'm really hoping to see this being unfold in a way where they start vibrating with this delight and kind of reverence, right? And so, and that's what I'm doing. In my energy work and in my sessions, is kind of saying everyone has this channel where we all function, you know, like with spirit work, just feels like breathing. It just feels like the easiest, most truthful way of listening and knowing how to respond in the present moment. And, you know, we get so stuck with identity and hierarchy and status and what's the next move and what's the 5-year plan and all of that. And I've really found that as people let go of that, remarkable shifts start happening for them, you know, which is why I've been so lucky, you know, to work with the people that I do work with and, you know, like as a guide. And so then when I started asking people, would you want to go do this shoot with me, unilaterally, people were like, are you kidding? You know, they were like, yeah, you know, and then everyone kept saying that was as powerful as when I've had a session with you. And I thought that was thrilling because.
And how do the sessions typically work with you? Like, so what are they referring to? What would a session be like with you?
I mean, to get very, you know, like just pedantic about it, like I sit down with someone, we chat, I say to someone, come in with an intention, and we'll start from there. And I'm just asking and listening. I'm asking questions, and then we're chatting, you know, because it would be very scary, I think, for most people to just go straight into energy work. You know, I mean, we have to sort of deal with our socialized selves first, and we don't know each other, and energy work is powerful, and that's a little scary, you know? And so I want people to feel really, I want them to feel felt and seen and received, and I'm also listening, you know, to my own intuitive guidance, as to, I sort of will get impressions, I'll reflect that back to the person. That usually brings a sense of trust, because usually what I'm experiencing oftentimes is something that they're coming in with but haven't shared with me. So then they feel sort of like, oh, you know, you are listening to me, or you are really getting something. And it's really important to me that there's just profound safety, because people don't reveal or are able to pivot something that, like, their nervous system is clutching without that sense of, you know, like a catcher's mitt of, I've got you, you know, you're safe to let go of the reins for a moment. And I think that that's what I'm doing with the work, is that, you know, I'm sort of saying to spirit, me, I'm allowing you to take the reins, but when I'm shooting someone, I want them to feel so, 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 so safe and protected that it's like I can feel that they're, you know, they aren't these little things I'm moving around, you know?
Right.
And that's a lot of what has been reflected back to me with the people that I've shot, is how safe they feel. And I think that brings forth a daring, right? If they start feeling really felt and excited, and then I see them kind of open and become more radiant, and that's when the whole thing is like this giant experiment, you know? It really is like a dance, you know, between the earth, where we are, light, you know, wind, everything. It's all there, but we're so sensorially guided as mammals first, right? You know, it's like it is electric when someone is sitting somewhere and I'm saying, yes, but you know, you're not just lying there. The earth is coming up to hold you. We're in relationship. And, you know, feel that breeze, and as they're kind of listening from this proprioception, I mean, there's such a relief that happens there. I think that that's what wonder is. You know, it's like I don't have to be better than I am in this moment, and the letting go, and that's when I sort of take the picture, you know.
Mm-hmm. I love that, and there's another image here I wanted to talk about before we go. Cradled. This is an individual, and it's looks almost like a drone image. You know, it's so beautiful, and I don't know where this is, but God, I'd love to go there. It does look like an extraordinary place. So where are we, and what's happening there? Is this a drone image? And then
it is not a drone image. It is not a drone. That is me hanging about 350 feet above, off a bridge. Almost lost my glasses. But, you know, I saw that image. I saw that part of the Yuba River from a hiking magazine. And I just thought, oh my God, I have to get there, you know. And amazingly, one of my clients that I work with in the job I was just describing asked if I would come up to do a land clearing in the same town. As soon as I sort of said, wow, I really have got to get that. It was within 24 hours, this client reached out and said, would you come? And then I looked at it on the map and I went, oh my God, this is, you know, probably 20 minutes away from where I'd wanted to shoot. And then the person that I shot was born and raised in the town and happened to be 40 minutes away when I said, would you be willing to, you know, come get in the river? And so she was like, would I? But she's like, this is where I was, you know, since I was 2 years old.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
It's so crazy. And so, but, you know, I'm going to retract crazy because I kind of, what I've really found is that the more that I get excited about show me how to get there, you know, basically, because the visual imprints first, right? Like, I don't know where or what or when or how or whatever. And even finding that spot, Brainerd, could you imagine that exact spot that I saw in the hiking magazine? I had to, you know, I had to look for several days to be like, oh, it's here, you know? And I can't wait to share the rest of the images that I got from that day. But, I mean, it was profound because there are many people on that river. And so to get an image like that with no other people, I mean, it looks like we're completely by ourselves. And I didn't take people out. It was more like people could feel, and this probably sounds too woo, but people could feel we were kind of doing something, you know, and respected it. They just moved out of the frame.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. When that's, when people get something like that's going on, we all feel it, right? That's so
yeah.
Interesting, right? So it's almost a group process, you're saying. They understand something's happening.
Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And this is in, we're talking about like Nevada, like where are we? Where is the
That's
Cuba
actually,
River?
It's well, the city is called Nevada City, which is odd because it's in Northern California. But the river is the Yuba River. It is not colorized. It is emerald green.
Wow. Just
it
amazing.
Is that outrageous color. And I really entreat anyone that can get there to experience it because, you know, people who grew up in that city are very kind of one with the land. They're kind of hippie. I mean, the river itself is clothing optional. There's many whole families that are just nude there. And a lot of the reason why I am not having clothing in my work is because as soon as you have clothing, you have identity. And I, you know, I started to kind of experiment and be like, could I? And it didn't move me in the same way, even remotely, as just seeing us like a lizard kind of lying on a rock. It just felt like, ah, like, that's right. It felt like that's right in my body.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared this with me. You know, it's just such a beautiful show and process. Mm-hmm. And, of course, for listeners, I hope you can get there before it closes or follow the links here, too. I want to ask you one more question before we go a little
Absolutely.
Off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
Well, given that this was my first show and a solo show, and that there's 32 works in my first solo show, I was rereading Pema Chodron's Comfortable with Uncertainty, which is pretty great. Highly recommend it. It's just kind of leaning in and trusting, and as much of, you know, I try to practice that myself. Being, I think, this feeling of like an outsider, you know, I was feeling that kind of little worried self. It's like, I don't know anything about the art world, you know, kind of just that overwhelm. And it's not what generates this furnace of kind of God in me that creates the images. And I just wanted to go back to something that felt very frank, basic guidelines of like kind of what we're doing here, and that there is nothing that I'm not a part of, right? It's like, that's the title again, you know, this life wants you. You know, you're not on the fringes. You're right in the center, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I'm so delighted. Thank you, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.